Let's turn together tonight to John chapter 13. John chapter 13, we're kind of picking up, serving two purposes tonight. We're continuing in our series on discipleship, but also sharing some thoughts in regard to the new year. And I want us to look at verses 36 through 38. But before we read these verses, you know, we are not very good hearers. We hear things we want to hear. We pick up pieces and parts. Every husband has heard from their wife, "You didn't listen to what I had to say. You just got part of it," all right? Well, that's just the nature of a man, right? Our hearing increases as the conversation, or sometimes it starts out loud, like a commercial, and then it just gets softer and softer, you know, as it goes on, and we just kind of tune things out. I laugh every time I hear that commercial of the young girl that runs into her mother and says, Mom, I've just been accepted at a very highly accredited college." And the guy has what he hears. He says, "Mom, I've just been accepted at the most expensive university." You know, what women hear and what men hear are sometimes two different things. And for the most part, though, all of us, we like to hear what we want to hear. And we have an example here in John chapter 13 of piecemeal hearing. Piecemeal hearing. And I want to, from this particular example, bring to you a short message tonight relative to discipleship and about following the Lord. And when the Lord makes a change, when He creates a blank space along life's journey, how easy it is for us to want to fill it in. You know, and we're going to see that starting at verse 36 through the end of the chapter. "Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice." Let's pray. Father, pray that you would work in our hearts tonight as we continue in this series on discipleship. We pray, dear Father, that you would give us an open and receptive heart to take into our hearts the message that you have for us tonight. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, what did the Lord Jesus Christ just share with his disciples? He had just shared with them here in the earlier verses 21 through 35 that he was going to go away, that he is going to be betrayed by one of the disciples, that he is going to die, and that he is going to be resurrected. And Peter, as he has listened to this whole conversation here, he only catches a few words, and he says to the Lord Jesus Christ, "Lord, where are you going?" Now, it doesn't sound like he was listening very well, does it? "Lord, where are you going, and why can't I go with you? Why can't I follow you?" Now, that's the idea or the concept of being his disciple, following after him. Now, Jesus had just told him, he said, "Where I'm going, you cannot follow. But afterward, you can follow me." So there's a following up to this point where we are here in John 13. And the Lord says, "I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to be despised and rejected of men. And where I go, you can't follow." So we have a kind of a blank space. "But afterward, you can follow me. You can follow after me." Now, here is a man, Peter, who is very close to all of us. All right? All of us are like Peter. Now, some may quickly say, "Well, I'm not like Peter. I'm a little more reserved than what Peter was." But in many ways, I think we can say we're like Peter. I believe that if you are a child of God, you would never sell out Jesus Christ as Judas did. I don't believe a true saint of God can do what Judas did. Judas was not a believer. He was lost. But understand this, we can all do what Peter did. All right? We can all do what Peter did. He denied the Lord Jesus three times. The man who said, quoting his words, "I will lay down my life for thy sake," was the one that denied the Lord Jesus Christ three times. Now, this is one of the great lessons of discipleship. This is one of the greatest lessons that we can all learn. Peter's problem was not that Satan was in his heart, but that he had confidence in his own flesh. It wasn't so much that Satan was tempting Peter, and he was. Jesus Christ said to Peter, "Satan hath desired to sift you." So we know that Satan was at work. But here we find that the Lord is dealing specifically not with Satan's work in Peter's life, but Peter's flesh's work in Peter's life. He had confidence in himself. You know, we're always working with our kids, and we have children that we work with in our school or whatever that lack confidence. All right? They just don't seem to know how to put out, or they kind of hold back, and you want to bring that out as a teacher. You want to bring them out of that so they'll do what they need to do and they'll act confidently. We're not talking about that when we say lacking confidence. We're talking about the spiritual aspect where we think we can do what we're supposed to do in our own strength. That's the self-confidence that can be destructive. Now, there are times when you and I cannot understand why we cannot do what we want to do. It just seems like that there's a barrier in place. Jesus told the disciples, "You can't do what I'm going to be doing. You can't follow me in that doing. This work that I'm going to do, the cross work, is something I must do alone. You can't do that." And what's Peter's response? He's talked about what he's going to be accomplishing here in this chapter. Peter's response is, "Well, why can't I?" That was the flesh talking. "Why can't I do what you're wanting to do? I will give my life for you, Lord." Sounds big and bold, doesn't it? How many times have we been big and bold when we didn't know our own heart? We didn't understand the frailty of our flesh. That was Peter. And I hesitate to criticize him too heavily because I'm just like him. All right? I'm just like him. I can't even speak for you folks here tonight, but I can speak for myself. I'm like him. There are things that I would like to see done, and the Lord seems to put up a barrier and said, not now. And the temptation in my heart is I'm going to get it done somehow, some way. That's the temptation. You know what happens when you try to get her done? When it's not something that God wants done? Then you live sometimes for years with the consequences of you getting her done when God didn't want it done. I've known folks that have lived with the unintended consequences of pushing some agenda or doing something that wasn't in God's timing. It wasn't in God's plan at that time, but they were so intent on doing it that they pushed it, did it, and then everybody had to live with the consequences. And it took years to sweep it all up, clean it all up. Isn't that sad? Just last night, we took the vestals out to eat, and I saw a young lady, and she had something that she was carrying around. It was an infant. She's not married. She's a senior in high school. I've watched this little girl grow up. I've watched her in rebellious situations where police cars were parked around their vehicle and she had a gun in her hand. We didn't know what was going to happen. She was outside her house. Her dad was on the ground begging and pleading with her to please put the weapon down. Please put the weapon down. And she was screaming at the top of her lungs and waving the gun around. And I told my wife she's headed for some very serious problems. And as she walked by, she had that little baby. Now, you know what she's going to be doing over the next few months? She's going to be planning her graduation. But you know what she's going to be planning? She's going to be planning who's going to babysit my baby. And then when she desires to go to college, what am I going to do with my child? You see, folks, it may have been God's plan for her to have a child, but according to His methodology, that is marriage. That's what God lays down in His Word. Boys and girls, teenagers, listen. God may want you to have a family, but He wants you to have it His way. And if you don't have it His way, you will deal with the consequences of your way. And my heart just sunk down within me. I spoke to her. I said, how are you doing? I'm doing fine. How are you? She went on her way. But I couldn't, all I can see now is the consequences that will play out over time. Okay? Now we need to understand that. Sometimes God puts a fill in the blank in your life. And He wants you to wait because He's going to write in what He wants to put there. But because of selfishness or because of not willing to wait or because you think you know what should go in that fill in the blank spot, you'll push ahead. And that's what Peter was trying to do here. Lord, I don't understand something. You're going away and I want to know why I can't come. I want to know why I'm not in the picture here. The Lord was very clear. He said, listen, what I am about to do, you can't do with me. Afterward, when I'm done, you'll be able to pick up and do what I need you to do. You'll be able to follow after me. Are you content with God's fill in the blanks in your life? Are you content to go on for a period of time not knowing and just waiting? That's the test of discipleship. Can you learn to wait along life's road and just say, all right, Lord, I don't know what you want me to do. I'm just going to wait. I'm not going to push the envelope. I'm not going to try to figure it out. I'm just going to let you fill in the blank. When you're satisfied to wait, God does His best work. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, the psalmist said, and He will strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, how does it finish? Upon the Lord. Life is not one continuous stream of just constantly moving, moving, moving. Sometimes God puts us down. Sometimes God puts a blank in there, and you've got to be content with the blanks as well as whenever things are moving along. And those are the times, many times, that we can learn such lessons. Peter is going to learn some lessons that are going to change his life when it comes to discipleship, is he not? This singular event that's about to unfold in his life, where he denies the Lord three times, is going to put him on a higher plane where God can use him in a very special way in the beginnings of the early church and in the work among the Hebrew people. He had to go through this blank period in his life. He had to learn the lessons not to push ahead of God, not to push ahead of His guidance. How many of you have followed a guide before at something? I've been on many trips. We took the fourth grade a number of years ago to do a tour up through Blackwater River Forest. And David Creamer, was our guide. And Mr. Creamer, he had a rule. No one moves ahead of me. Have you ever told that to a group of fourth graders? No one moves ahead of me. What's the first thing? There's some kid. They want to be out in front, right? Isn't it amazing? Everybody wants to be first in the kitchen line. It's an amazing thing watching the sixth graders and the seventh and eighth graders coming, and they're just down the hall going, they can't wait. They want to get their pizza. They want to get their beef and bean burrito. And they want to be the first one to get it. Why? I don't know. They rush out to the table and they sit down, they put their plate down, and they're all by themselves. You know? And they sit there and they wait for the other people. They're fidgeting, you know, I don't want to eat by myself. You know, but they got to be first. Right? They got to be first. You know, I've watched people that whenever I go to a buffet, it's more fun than people. Watching people at a buffet like Ryan's. And see them knocking people out of the way. I mean, there'll be an elderly person there and you'll see a young people that just kind of push their way to get up there so they can get their plate filled up with whatever they're going to get. You know? I got to be first. I can't wait. And they rush over there and then they rush back up into the line. Let me tell you something, folks. You've got to be content when there are waiting periods in life to just wait. Just wait. But I got to be doing something. No, you don't. No, you don't. You see, those waiting periods are just as precious. I heard someone say that a servant in a king's palace was just as valuable pouring the tea as he was standing by the throne waiting for his next command. Isn't that a picture? He was just as valuable as he stood there by the throne waiting for the king's next command as he was actually serving, because he was at ready for the king. Sometimes God says, I just want you to stand by my throne for a while. I just want you to soak in a little bit of my presence. Can you do that? Well, I got to be doing something. I can't just stand here. Then you'll miss it. You'll miss it. Miss what? Miss his best. Because then you'll handcraft your specialty during that blank spot, and then you'll have to live with all the consequences that come from your craftiness. We could go through the Bible and give example after example after example after example of God's illustrations for us of people that had to rush out and do something. You think about Abraham. Sarah came to him, you know, said, the Lord promised us 15 years ago that we were going to have a baby. We haven't had one yet. I don't think it's going to happen. I want you to take my maidservant and y'all have a child together. Abraham said, okay. I'm tired of this waiting around too. So he has a child. And what does God say? That's not the child. And we tonight in this world are living with the consequences. We're living with the consequences in the Arab world of a child that Abraham had with Hagar. You want to know what it's like to go in and fill in the blank spot? That was a long period of blank, wasn't it, in Abraham's life? Sarah with her hands over behind her head, I just don't think this is going to work. God said he would give us a child, but he hasn't given us. It's been 15 years. We got to do something. We got to get things moving, right? No, wrong. Wrong! And for 4,000 years, this earth has lived with Abraham's fill in the blank. This is important, boys and girls, young people. If I don't get anything else across, when there are periods in your life when you don't know what to do, as Dr. Bob Sr. said, don't do anything. When you don't know what to do, don't do anything, because what you do may have everlasting consequences. I want us to notice a few things about Peter's words and his actions tonight. Just a few minutes left. Number one, Peter did not wait for God. This is what he did. And Mr. O'Pager, every year, he and Chris work up a forecast for the ministry, all right? Seeking to forecast where we're going to be at the end of this fiscal year. And it's amazing. Usually we end up where they say sometimes we're better than we forecasted. Sometimes we're not as good as we forecasted. But it's a kind of a glimpse into the future to see where we're going to be if trends hold like they are. And this is what Peter did. He forecasted in his mind where the test would come. And this is what he said about his forecast. Verse 37, I will lay down my life for thy sake. He'd already figured it out. When called upon, I'm ready. And in the cliche today, bring it on. Right? Bring it on! Man, I'm studied for this test. Lord, I'm willing to lay down my life for you. How quick we are. I believe he meant every word of it. He was just as sincere as he could be. It was just one little problem. He didn't know his own heart. He didn't know his own flesh. And God said, you know what? Before I can trust you, Peter, to be able to do great things for me, I need to teach you a little lesson about yourself. I need to teach you a little lesson about your flesh and just what you are capable of doing. And for the rest of Peter's life, he lived with the memory of denying the Lord Jesus Christ three times, cursing. Cursing. Oh, that came out of my lips. Oh, he received forgiveness. Jesus Christ forgave him on the shore. You remember? while he was gathered there, and he told Peter, said, "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep." Peter was seeking forgiveness from Jesus Christ for what he had done, and the Lord Jesus was continuing to work with him, continuing to work with him. You and I are not good enough to forecast when tests will come in this life. We say, "I will lay down my life for thy sake," but we don't know whether we'll lay down our life for thy sake. Oh, he pulled out the sword in the garden. And he was a fisherman. He was used to casting, you know. And he didn't do so hot. I think he was aiming for the neck and he hit the ear. And the Lord Jesus Christ reached over and picked up the ear and stuck it back on the servant's head and said, "Peter, I think you need to go put that down. Don't play with the sword. This is not the time for this." "But Lord, I'm willing to fight for you. I'll fight to the death." This isn't the time for fighting, Peter. This is the time for the unfolding of the Father's will. Will you step back and let His will be unfolded? "Oh, but Lord, there's so many things I want to do for you. Lord, I've got this vision. I've got this idea." Hush, Peter. I have a work to do. I'm going to fill in the blank if you'll let me. Let me do my work. Number two, Peter was confident in his own flesh. Notice this. "Why can't I follow thee now?" That was really all that Peter heard out of that whole conversation. Jesus said to him, "Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now." And then in Peter's response, "Lord, why cannot I follow thee now?" He was in the now. Oh, I want to tell you something. We make a lot of mistakes in life and we commit sin in the now. It wasn't a time for now. It was a time to wait. He was very confident in his flesh. Those are the words of a confident man in his abilities. Peter's declaration was honest, but quite frankly, it was ignorant. Notice how Jesus answered him, "Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice." The only words that Peter heard of all that Jesus had to say was that he was going away. And he almost reacts like a little child. And I don't want to demean Peter in any way, but I know how sometimes we act. We want the cookie now. We want dessert before the main dish. I don't know anybody that doesn't, whenever they see what you're going to have for dessert, that doesn't want it immediately. You know, when the ladies bring in all the goods, and it's always wonderful to see those desserts all lined up there, and I watch the kids' eyes, they get really big as we're waiting for prayer time, and they're over there looking to see what's over there on the dessert table. And I know exactly what's in every one of their minds. "Can we just skip the regular part of the meal and just go right to the dessert?" Yeah, I hear the amens back there. "Can't we just skip all this stuff about the meat and the potatoes and stuff like that? Let's just go right for the dessert." And I know because I was a child once. Boy, I loved my desserts. When it was, you know, my mom, every Thanksgiving, she would make pecan pie. My grandmother had pecan trees in her yard, and she'd make pecan pie. And I tell you what, I can't think of Thanksgiving without pecan pie. And for a diabetic, that's terrible. You know what? If they had punishment for diabetics, I would have already been beaten to death because of the thought, "Yeah, boy, I'd love to have a piece of pecan pie." Thanksgiving just isn't Thanksgiving, you know, without seeing that pecan pie sitting there with all those pralines on top, you know, and all that good stuff that's underneath it that's full of sugar and all that good stuff. And it's good eating. Why can't I have my cookie now? That was Peter. "I want my cookie now." And Jesus said, "No, not now. Later." That's the flesh that speaks. I have known over the years folks who could not wait on the Lord. There was such an intensity of wanting something to happen, and when it did not happen, they went out to make it happen. And then it was a wreck. Slow motion train wreck. You could actually predict what was going to happen next. Individual lives. Decisions that were made. I was telling the young people yesterday in chapel, and I don't know why it came to my mind. But in my senior year at Bob Jones, Corrine Poindexter, who was in our senior class here at Santa Rosa Christian School, she sent me a note or called me. I think she called me, and she said, let's go on a double date. I've got a roommate that I'd like to introduce you to. You don't have a girlfriend right now, do you? I said, well, thanks for reminding me, Corrine. I appreciate that. And I said, let's go to the dating parlor, and we'll do a double date, and we'll have some fun. So I did. And she introduced me to a girl. And so I went on a double. We had a great time. And then I started getting notes just about every night. They used to run notes back and forth between the dormitories. They do email now. You don't have to run notes anymore, I guess. But I remember getting a note, and on the first card that she sent, I want to introduce you to my parents. Whoa! Okay? Now, I knew immediately that she had a disease. Okay? Anybody know what senioritis is? How many of you were smitten with senioritis? Anybody here that had confessed to senioritis? She had it bad. I mean, she was stage four senioritis. And I said, well, I don't really want to go to meet your parents. You know, I've got some commitments at home. I'm supposed to be working over the holidays. I got to pay off my school bill. I had 1,000 excuses for not wanting to do that. And she sent me notes and all kinds of stuff. Oh, I love you so much. And it was moving way too fast for me. You know, I didn't get married till I was 28. I was really slow. And so I was never in a big hurry. And so I wrote her a letter back and I said, listen, I'm really not interested. I said, you're really pushing a little too hard, and I think we're just going to cut this thing off. And I got this letter back, oh, it broke in my heart, and all that kind of stuff. And then we got back in January. Now, you talk about healing and quick recovery. That girl was walking beside a boy on the sidewalk at Bob Jones the week after we got back from Christmas break, and she married him in June of that year. She found him. Okay? Now, her sorrow was short-lived. I mean, look what she missed out on, right? Stop laughing, Beth. Oh, my goodness. Yes. Senioritis. I've got to have me a boy. I got to get married. I don't know what happened to her. I have no idea how her marriage worked out. But you know what? Sometimes pushing your agenda will bring a boatload of grief. A boatload of grief. We've got to be careful. Well, our time is gone, and I've got a few more I want to share. Maybe Sunday night we can pick up on this. But I want you to learn something about discipleship tonight. As you live your life, there's going to be some blank spots. There's going to be some times where it just seems like I just don't know what to do. I don't have any idea what I'm supposed to do. Then just wait. Let God fill in the blank. Don't you fill in the blank. Because if you do, then now you're going to have to deal with all the consequences of your filling in the blank. Best thing to do is wait on the Lord. He will fill in the blank and it will be perfect. It'll be exactly what you needed. It'll be the unfolding of His perfect will in your life, and it will be the most wonderful thing. That's a whole lot better than having to look back and say, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have done that. I should have waited on the Lord. This is an important lesson in discipleship. Discipleship is not about doing. Can I emphasize that again? Because that's what most of us think. We think discipleship is doing, doing, doing. Got to be doing something. No, 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 no. Sometimes doing is standing beside the King's throne and just waiting. King, what am I supposed to do now? I really should be doing something. Just wait. When the king's ready, the king will speak. And he'll tell you what you need to do. You're just as valuable to God when your hands are busy and when God says, get still for just a little while. I want you to wait a little bit. You're just as valuable waiting as you are working. And that's an important lesson in discipleship. Because when we start filling in the blanks, that's when the flesh comes in. And the flesh has never produced one good thing, ever. Well, I know somebody... No, you don't. Well, I know some good works... Oh, wait a minute. If it's good, then God had something to do with it. The flesh has never produced one good thing. It's always produced problems. God help us to be willing to let God fill in the blanks rather than us trying to do it for Him. We'll pick up with this, Lord willing, Sunday night.